Let us give our attention to the word of our blessed Jesus, the one who loves us. As it comes to us in the gospel according to St. John, chapter 21, verses 18 through 25. This morning is a bit bittersweet for me as we come to the end of my favorite book of the Bible. It's all good, don't get me wrong. I firmly believe that. But the gospel according to John has a special place in my heart. I know it has that in yours as well. This morning we wrap up our series. Last week we were able to listen in on the restoration of Peter, which took place at the Sea of Galilee on what we've called the Beach of Grace. This morning we will hear Jesus reissue that life-changing call that he gave Peter a couple of years before at the Sea of Galilee when he said, "Follow me." The Gospel according to John, chapter 21, beginning in verse 18. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This Jesus said to Peter to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Lord Jesus, even as you fed your disciples the breakfast that you lovingly prepared for them on the beach of grace, so feed us with your word that we, like them, might grow in following you with hearts of love for you and for others. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, just a couple of words can dramatically change your life for the better. When your beloved says, "I do." When a good employer says, "You're hired." When a discerning jury says, "Not guilty." When a dear friend says, "You're forgiven." For St. Peter, it was when Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus first said those words to Peter when he called him and his brother Andrew when they were fishing at the Sea of Galilee, saying, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." From there, Peter did follow Jesus, sometimes very closely, sometimes at a distance. But now Jesus and Peter are back at the Sea of Galilee, and once again Jesus says, "Follow me." In fact, he says it once in verse 19 and again in verse 22. Speaks to our need to be reminded, moment by moment, to follow Jesus. We're easily distracted from following Jesus, and we see that even in the life of Peter in just a few short moments with Jesus on the beach. Jesus was saying to Peter, keep on following me. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get distracted. Keep following me more closely than ever. This morning, let's consider those life-changing words of Jesus, what they meant for Peter and what they mean for us today. In the first place, following Jesus means denying oneself. Denying oneself. At the Last Supper, the topic of following Jesus was front and center. John tells us in chapter 13, beginning in verse 26, that Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. At the Last Supper, Peter was not ready to follow Jesus unto death. He was not ready to deny himself in that way. Indeed, he denied Jesus rather than denying himself. But Jesus promised Peter that Peter would follow in that way afterward. That is, after Christ's death and resurrection. As Adam Clark put it, Christ had to die for Peter before Peter could die for Christ. Christ had to show his love for Peter in that way, set Peter free from self-centeredness and self-preservation in that way. It took the cross of Christ to empower Peter to fulfill his desire, his genuine desire, to follow Jesus unto death. And it took the work of the Holy Spirit, who pours the love of God into disciples of Jesus, pours the love of God into our hearts. Remember how we saw last week that Peter was hesitant to tell Jesus that he loved him with that agape love, that highest form of love, that self-denying, self-sacrificing, self-giving love. Don't miss what Jesus is saying to Peter here. He's telling Peter that Peter will in fact mature in that love. Peter is going to grow as one indwelt by the Holy Spirit who sheds abroad the agape of God in our hearts. Peter is going to grow in that kind of love, to the point of sacrificing his own life for the glory of God and the good of others. According to many of the church fathers, it was 34 years after this episode of which we just read that Peter was crucified under the reign of the wicked Roman Emperor Nero. But at Peter's request, he was crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. Peter's promise to follow the Lord, even if that meant losing his life, was fulfilled We mustn't miss what his friend John is showing in this passage in connection with what happened on the night our Lord was betrayed when Peter denied him. Peter ultimately fulfilled his promise to follow Jesus unto death. It's a picture of redeeming, life-transforming, restorative grace in the life of the disciple. Peter fulfilled his promise, but as we've seen, it wasn't in Peter's own strength. It was fulfilled in the power of the crucified, risen, and ascended Christ, working graciously in Peter by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who assured him of the Father's unfailing love for him. The triune God enabled Peter to follow Jesus, even unto death. Thus, by grace, the man who was infamous for denying Christ became famous for embodying Christ's call to all his disciples when he said, "If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me." Following Jesus means denying oneself, one's selfish ambition, one's proud self-reliance, one's attempts to live autonomously from God. Following Jesus means denying oneself. In the second place, following Jesus means depending on his sovereign care. Depending on his sovereign care. After Peter's threefold restoration on the beach of grace, in the presence of the other disciples, where they had partaken of the greatest breakfast they had ever had, Peter and Jesus began to walk down the beach with the Apostle John following behind them. And Peter, as one commentator put it, very quickly returned to his Peterishness. He couldn't help himself. He just had to know, all right, well, if this is going to be my future, well, what about this guy? What about my buddy John? What's going to happen to him? Well, is he going to die a martyr's death too? Or will his life be easier than mine? So he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." As John notes, this led to the rumor that Jesus said that John was not going to die until Jesus came again. So here John clears that up. John, a very aged man at this point, perhaps knowing that he didn't have a lot of time left, and so he clears this rumor up. But what's really important for us is what Jesus said to Peter when he said, "Don't worry about John's future. His life and his death are in my nail-pierced hands, as are yours. Stay focused on the task I've given you to do. Follow me." We constantly have to be reoriented to that task, don't we? Following Jesus. And this teaches us that to follow Jesus means trusting Jesus, depending on his sovereign care of our lives and the lives of our loved ones. We must always remember who the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth really is and what he has done, humbling himself, become an embryo, a baby, a toddler, a child, a teenager, an adult, misunderstood, denied, betrayed, forsaken, beaten beyond recognition, crucified shamefully on a Roman cross. The one who loved us and gave himself for us, this friend of sinners and forgiver of all our sins, is the one by whom all things were made and the one in whom all things hold together. The sovereign God of heaven and earth is not a faceless deity, a capricious God, a dreadful fate. The sovereign God of heaven and earth is Jesus of Nazareth, who laid down his life for you. Is there anyone else you would want to be sovereign over all things, including your life and your death? As J.C. Ryle put it, it is an unspeakable comfort to remember that our whole future is known and forearranged by none other than Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as luck, chance, or accident in the journey of our life. Everything from beginning to end is foreseen, arranged by one who is too wise to err and too loving to do us harm. Let us store up this truth in our minds and use it diligently in all the days of darkness through which we may yet have to pass. In such days, we should lean back on the thought, Christ knows this and knew it when he called me to be his disciple. Jesus was calling Peter out of the bondage of worrying about the future and into the freedom of following Jesus in the present. As William Hendrickson put it, Peter must not be so deeply interested in God's secret counsel regarding John that he fails to pay attention to God's revealed will. It is a lesson which every believer in every age should take to heart. There is work to be done. There are souls to be reached. There is a task to be accomplished. Let Peter rivet all his attention upon this. Some people are always asking questions. They are asking so many questions that their real mission in life fails to receive the proper amount of interest and energy. There are times when questions are out of order. It has been well said that a man who has been wounded by a feathered, poisoned arrow should not begin to ask, "Of what wood is this arrow made? Of what bird did these feathers come? Is the person who shot it short or tall?" Instead, let him do something first of all. That's the message of Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And that was Jesus' message to Peter on the beach of grace. Don't worry about your future. That's not a burden you're meant to bear. Don't worry about the future of others or how they might compare to yours. Concern yourself with doing the tasks I've given you to do. In love, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me, and trust in my wise, sovereign, loving care. Following Jesus means denying oneself, depending on His sovereign care. And in the third place, following Jesus means delighting in His story. Delighting in His story. St. John concluded his gospel by saying that though he had borne a faithful witness to Jesus, it did not come close to being exhaustive. How could it? He said, if everything Jesus did were to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. As Hendrickson put it, no finite number of books can ever record the deeds performed by infinite love. We should also remember that the story of Jesus actually continues to be written. It is written in and through the lives of each one of His disciples. As the Gospel Transformation Bible says, all things necessary for our salvation are written in the Bible, but the Gospel will continue to write stories of Jesus' glory and grace wherever it is preached. It's been said that there are actually five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. You, dear believer, your life in Christ is good news to a needy world. Your life of new and nobler life in Christ is a witness to the life-changing love of God in His Son. Your life in Christ is a book written so that others may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, they too may have life in His name. So let us delight in Jesus' story of redeeming love, and let us delight in being a little yet eternally significant part of that story in the lives of others. Many years ago, after a resident of a mental institution passed away, these words were found written on the wall of the narrow room where he had died. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. All praise and glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.